Is anyone really hot? Okay, that's good, because so am I. Next week, we'll work on better temperature control somehow. Sorry if it's hot, but you'll just have to deal with it for this morning. Here we are, High Branches. Pretty amazing. Just going to sit here for a second and kind of soak it in. This feels a little bit like a first date to me. Some of you kind of know me. I know some of you, but I don't really know some of you. We don't really even know what this thing is going to be. And yet, it feels like a pretty good first date. Like, I'm thinking, this could be cool. This could be cool down the road. Kind of like the first date I had with my wife. I was like, I hate this awkward thing for the first couple weeks, but this has some potential here. So today it's going to be partly about getting to know me, partly about getting to know this thing we're calling Branches, and partly about getting to know Genesis. This summer I realized, somewhat in a panic mode, that after working at another church, it was now up to me to determine what I was going to speak on. I was like, oh no, what are we going to speak on? I have no idea. Russ used to always do that for me. And I thought, beginnings, Genesis, I mean, come on. It's like made to happen that way, right? In the beginning. I mean, here we are, in the beginning, right here. So, not to panic some of you, because I know there's been maybe a time in your past where the pastor says, we're going to be studying Genesis, and we're going to be studying it for the next 4 years. Because that's how long it takes. And, you know, by the time the thing is done, you hate Genesis. You never want to hear anyone talk about it again. So we're just going to be doing 13 weeks, which means big, massive sections, you know, like 10 chapters at a time some weeks. So it's going to be a very broad overview, which hopefully means we'll want to come back to it at some time in the future, because I actually think it's a pretty cool book. So today is Genesis 1 and 2, which is, you know, the creation story in the beginning. Now, one thing you may or may not know about me is when I dive in to wrestle with the scripture, which is kind of one of our things on our vision statement, is we want to wrestle with scripture together. One of the ways that just works for me is to start asking questions about the scripture. It's just the way my mind works. It's questions, questions, questions. I came across this quote from Richard Rohr. Do we have the slides working? Nice, yes. Richard Rohr said this, "I don't think the important thing is to be certain about answers nearly as much as being serious about the questions." That strikes my personality. I love it. And one of the things I hope for us as a community is that we're very serious about the questions. And I don't ask questions to be irreverent. I don't ask questions because it's, you know, it's like my shtick. It's a great little speaking way to do it. I ask questions because I seriously have questions. And I think there's great biblical support for having questions. I think if you look at Moses, I mean, I was reading through some of his questions that he asked God. Stuff like, what is your name? Stuff like, why have you brought harm? Stuff like, why did you send me? Why does your anger burn against your people? And these are some pretty serious questions to ask God. Why is your anger burning against us? I think if you read the Psalms, it's filled with questions from David. If you read Job, kind of know Job is one of those big questions books. I mean, it's just question after question. And God kind of responds with some of his own questions, which happens a lot if you ask questions. And the disciples, they were always asking Jesus questions. And then, to me, one of the most amazing questions in the entire Bible, which, just think about everything you think about theology for a second, and then think about this question. Jesus on the cross saying, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" That is a heavy question. You're like, wait, Jesus asked, okay. That'll be for another day. But I think there's a lot of biblical support for asking questions. And if you ask them, like I said, sometimes you got to be ready for God to say, oh yeah, you have questions? Well, guess what, buddy? I've got some questions for you. Brace yourself. Sometimes you have to be ready for just silence. Any answer here? Nope. And sometimes I think we can be ready for God to kind of give us some of those answers. So again, my hope is for us as a community to be okay with asking questions. I know a lot of times in church, you feel like, I can't ask that. Well, I hope you can here. That's honestly my goal. It's the way I work, and some of you may work that way. If you don't, I don't know what to say. Maybe you should. No, maybe you shouldn't. If you have all the answers, that's awesome. Come talk to me. I'd like to know them. So my first question, I look at Genesis 1 and 2, this Hebrew poem, and my first question is, okay, how did we get this? I mean, how did we really get this story? Because for one, it's a story about God creating people. So that means there were no people there. So there was no one to see this, no one to witness it, and it's basically probably one of the only passages in the Bible where you can truly say, nobody was there to see this. No one. There's no human. And so I ask, well, then how did we get this thing? And there's a lot of theories on how we got it, of course, when you start looking at this. Who wrote Genesis? The Bible never says who wrote Genesis. Nowhere. Never says this person wrote Genesis. Never in Genesis does it say I wrote Genesis. In fact, never does the word write even appear until Exodus. So the word write isn't even in the whole book. And so, you know, we come up with a lot of theories. There's kind of the theories that it emanated from some pagan myths. There's the great JEPD documentary or Wellhausen theory, which really, I mean, I just look at that. Man, that makes me want to look at Scripture. What is the Wellhausen hypothesis about Genesis? I'm excited about this. And it's basically that Genesis came from a number of different sources that were kind of put together by someone in some way. And there's some evidence for that, even in Genesis 1 and 2. It seems to be the creation story from two kind of different perspectives. So you would think, oh, maybe two different sources came here. And then there's the theory about Moses writing it. You know, Moses sat down and wrote it one day, which again, support for that. Moses seems to be the main character through Genesis and basically the first five books of the Bible. So there's a lot of theories, but, you know, let's just say Moses wrote it. Again, I come to my question, but how? Because he wasn't there. And, you know, we go to 2 Timothy. It's a great verse. All Scripture is inspired by God. And I believe that verse. Inspired, kind of a big word. What does that mean? Did Moses sit down and just kind of close his eyes and God moved the pen of, in the beginning? Maybe. I don't know. Did Moses kind of hear some of the oral traditions that had been passed down and start to collect these and kind of get a story of, this is how we believe creation started? Do you have some written stories that were together and that he's kind of collected those? Again, under the inspiration of God, we would say. And is that how we kind of got this? And basically, if you're like me, I'm doing this for 5 minutes and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I don't care how we got it. I don't care who wrote it. I actually have a bigger question now. Why? Why do we have Genesis? Why did God think it was important enough for, I think we can all agree to this, somehow, in some way, in some form, God inspired someone to somehow know this story? Because it was important. And so my question becomes, okay, well, why? Why is this beginning important? And I think to answer that, I start to look at, well, when was this written? And again, a lot of theories, I won't bore you with them, but most of them come down to this. Israel was not in a great place when they got this story. Some people say Moses was out in the wilderness while his people were under slavery in Egypt. Some say Israel was out in the wilderness. Some say Israel was under captivity by Babylon. Either way, we're talking about wilderness, suffering, captivity. Things weren't real great for Israel. And I would assume, and you can read this in the Bible from those stories, that when things aren't great, you start to get kind of some weird views of God and start to ask some of those big questions. And I think Israel was probably asking those questions. And God said, oh, well, it's important I give you the beginning. I came across this. This was classic. Just kind of the culture Israel may have been surrounded in. There's a Babylonian creation myth. This could have been one of the stories of how we got here. The Babylonians had, in the beginning, there were many gods, and all the gods were fighting. And Marduk got into a battle to the death with the sea goddess Tiamat and her mate, Kingu. Okay, you're like, okay, yep, sounds good. Marduk won, and he proclaimed himself God. And after killing Tiamat, he cut her body in half. And he used the top half to create the sky and the bottom half to create the world. It's a beautiful story. But it gets better. And Marduk still needed someone to populate the earth and tend to its upkeep. So he created human beings out of the blood of the other dead god, Kingu. You know, I just kind of read that and go, I feel special. I feel really good reading that. We were created from the blood of the other dead god. I mean, it's such a warm feeling. And then this, even better, after Tiamat had slaughtered the other god, there was so much work to do to upkeep the earth that he decided to allow humans to do the work, to kind of be his servants and to, you know, do all that work because he didn't want to mess with it. And even better, he didn't even really want to mess with the humans, so he ordained priests and the holy men to mess with the people and kind of, you deal with them, upkeep bond servants, and I'll kind of be back here. So again, this is kind of the idea of in the beginning, and you read that and you kind of go, oh yeah, I'm not sure that really makes me feel that great. And we would say, oh man, those crazy people back in Babylon, they have those weird views of how things started, and they have those weird views of God. And I would say, yeah, I think I hear a lot of those weird views of God myself sometimes. And maybe when we're blatantly asked, well, how did the world come in? We answer differently. But I hear this idea of, yeah, God kind of created us. He's really angry with us. I mean, we're doing his work. Yeah, it's just, you know, we've always just got to try to appease him. I think we kind of get these weird views of God as well. And so I think it's very important for us today to listen to the beginning for a moment, to sit here in the beginning on this first Sunday in our beginning, to rest in the beginning. So let's look at the story. This is a Hebrew poem. And again, poetry. Poets tend to repeat things, right? To kind of emphasize. What's one of the phrases that you think of when you think of in the beginning? Anybody? It was good. That's the one I think of. It was good. You got it in verse 4. God saw that the light was good. Verse 10. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 17, God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And then at the end of chapter 2, verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. I can just kind of picture Israel. They heard that for the first time. Oh, really? Oh, that's how it started? It was good? And good's kind of a weird word for us these days. I don't know if it has that impact. I was just talking to a guy not too long ago. How are things going? Oh, they're going good, going good. So, I mean, you feel like you're on the right track? Yeah, I do. You know, I feel like this is really good. I really do. And this guy's in the middle of an affair. He's got kids. I know, I feel like this is really good. Really? And we kind of do that a lot. Yeah, no, this is good. And so I like this Hebrew word for good because it has a lot of other words. It's kind of a bigger meaning. It kind of starts to explode. Words like well, beautiful, glad, joyful, pleasant, agreeable, excellent, precious, valuable, appropriate, happy. Oh, that starts to get a kind of a big meaning. And they were naked and they felt no shame. Nothing to hide from, nothing in the past to be ashamed of. You start to get this picture of this thing started off really awesome. Agreeable, pleasant, beautiful. And again, you kind of have Israel going, oh man, okay, that's how it started. You mean we didn't come from like the blood of a skull or something? No, no, it was good. And I think we need to be reminded of this beginning so much in this day and age, because it's really easy for us to forget the beginning of the story. It's really easy for us to get off on the other story, that part where it's not good. And believe me, we're going to be getting into it, and next week, from next week on, we're going to be all about the bad parts of the story. But it started off good, pleasant, agreeable. This was God's intention. This is what God desired for us. This is where it started. Beautiful. And it kind of sets the stage for me to look at the rest of the story of the Bible, because if you ask me, it's God always trying to get back to there. He's trying to move his people. No, no, that's not what I wanted for you, actually. It's this. No, 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 that, no. And you start to look through the Bible, and there's some really obvious examples. I mean, it says, it talks about Eden through a lot of the prophets, restoring Eden. Jesus comes along, obviously, and brings an abundance of beautiful, well, and good. And there's this cool verse I love. You know, I don't know how clever God is when he writes this stuff, but I think this is pretty clever. John 19. Now, in the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. Oh, cool. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Jesus, this explosion of good again, laid in a garden. And then Revelation talks about the end of the story, a city filled with gardens. I mean, this story is about, remember that beginning. Remember how these things started. And my prayer for Branches, honestly, is that we are a community that remembers the beginning. Because I think it's critically important to remember the beginning. I pray that we don't lose sight of beauty, delight, precious, joyful, agreeable, well. My prayer is that we join God in moving people as much as we can back towards that. My prayer is that we become a beacon of that for this community. Now, at this point, some of you might be saying, maybe not, but you might be saying, well, yeah, right, but sin. I mean, is this going to be one of those churches where we don't ever talk about sin? Because I like to talk about sin. You know, I like to call out people on their sin. I'll tell you, yes, we're going to talk about sin. But sin is always going to be in its rightful place in the story. The story didn't start off with, you're a sinner. The story started off with, it was good. It was beautiful, it was precious, it was joyful, it was agreeable, it was happy. And yeah, this sin came in and moved us a long way from that. And my prayer is that we're a community that's not obsessed with sin. We're obsessed with just calling out sin. My prayer is we're a community who's obsessed with being transformed through Jesus Christ into new creations, which is what the Bible says happens. And when that happens, kind of have this natural flow to be repelled from sin and to move back towards the good, the beautiful, the precious, the joyful, the delightful. My prayer is that those words, that list, is how we start to move in everything we do. In the way we interact with our spouses. Is it glad? Is it joyful? Is it agreeable? Is it excellent? Is it precious? In the ways we date, is it appropriate, valuable, precious? In the websites we look at, is it all that list? In those emails, you know, we send around, you know the ones, you get the email and you're like, cool, I'm forwarding this to everyone I know. First off, is it true? Secondly, is it well, beautiful, glad, joyful, pleasant, agreeable? In the ways that we interact with people, in the ways that we interact with people who are hurting and desperate, and the people that wrote names on those stickies last week with all kinds of needs, man, are we coming at them with this list of words? In the ways that we interact with our enemies, people that have harmed us, that have hurt us deep, are we still coming at them with good? And man, let me move you towards good. Let me introduce you to some things that I think can do it. In the ways that we just talk about people in our conversations, in the ways that we talk about other churches in this area, in this city, man, is it this list of things? Because today, as we start off, I hope we can say, that's what we're about. The beginning of the story started that way, and the goal is to bring that to people. That is what God's intention was. I came across this quote, God invites us back to Eden. I love that. God's inviting us back to Eden, and I hope we're a people who are inviting people back to Eden. I'll tell you, this has been a huge transformation in my own life. I mean, it's been big for me, and I don't know when it all kind of clicked, but it clicked, and I thought, man, I'm excited about this Christian message again. I'm excited about this kind of stuff. I'm excited about bringing this to people and letting Jesus bring it into my life. And so you're going to hear me talk about it a lot because it's where I'm at. There's a favorite verse of our family, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Live there. Live in true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, good. Live in the good. I've got one more story. It's an awesome story. Nick sent it to me. There was a city in Europe, and they had a problem. Everyone was parking their bikes illegally in the city. They had little nice bike racks, but no one parked their bikes there. They were actually parking them and getting them in the way of emergency services, filling up sidewalks, on and on. So the city came up with this plan to get people to move their bikes and park them in the right spot. What they did was they started the bicycle butlers. The bicycle butlers, if they saw a bike that was in the wrong spot, would lift up the bike, oil the chains, pump up the tires, get the bike in great shape, move it to the rack, and put a little note and say, hey, if you could kindly just park your bike here in the future, that would be great. Really? That's your idea? Since they've done that in 4 months, it's reduced the number of bikes parked illegally between 65 and 80% a day. Massive reduction in people illegally parking their bikes. And the guy who started it, he had this great quote. You know, he said, yeah, some people take advantage of it, but we haven't had one single person who was angry. I tell you that story because, like I said, I was the Christian who couldn't wait to find an illegally parked bike. Oh, look at this one. Oh, man. Yes. And now I'm going to wait and see what happens when they come and look at that ticket. You feel bad, don't you? Yeah, by the way, I didn't park my bike illegally. Can I help you? I mean, I was that guy. I love to find the illegally parked bikes. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel better. I'll tell you what, though. Man, I've been moved, and I feel like I'm kind of that guy now. I want to go oil people's chains. I want to go pump up their tires. And I kind of want to sit back and see what God does when I do that. Because I think when I start oiling people's chains and pumping up their tires and saying, hey, I'll tell you a little story, man. This thing started off good. The God we serve is amazing and good. And I know we have a lot of questions and doubts and struggles, but let me tell you this beginning. I think we tend to move back towards that beginning. And that's my prayer for this community as we get going. We'd be a community that oil people's chains, pump up their tires, and let God transform and do a work, and we can stand in awe of it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this story that you gave us. It is important. It's arguably critical that we remember how it started. It was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. They were naked, and there was nothing to be ashamed. God, it's a beautiful story. And we thank you that that's the way you started it. And Lord, we're sorry that this thing, sin, came into the story and started to ruin everything. Lord, may we be a people who focus on being transformed by you like you promise. We become a new creature. That's what you promise. A new creation. Lord, where we just emanate good. Flows from us. Lord, I thank you for this first Sunday. It's again humbling to be a part of this. It's just amazing. I thank you that you are moving. And Lord, may we be a beacon of good. Lord, may we do all that you call us to, but may we be a beacon of good and of reminding people that you are good. And reminding people of the transformation available to us. Reminding people of Jesus. We love you. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray all these things. Amen.